The text for this day is from Isaiah chapter 25, verses 6 through 9. On this mountain, the Lord of hosts will make for all peoples a feast of rich food, a feast of well-aged wine, of rich food full of marrow, of aged wine well-refined. And he will swallow up on this mountain the covering that is cast over all peoples, the veil that is spread over all nations. He will swallow up death forever. And the Lord God will wipe away tears from all faces. And the reproach of his people he will take away from all the earth. For the Lord has spoken. It will be said on that day, behold, this is our God. We have waited for him, that he might save us. This is the Lord. We have waited for him. Let us be glad and rejoice in his salvation. Not all of our days are parties. Not all of our days are celebrations. Not all of our days are easy or happy or joyful. Many of our days are either very ordinary, and some of them come along that are very painful and very weighty on our heart. It's the kind of thing that we experience all the days of our life. I'm not sure that there has ever been a day that I have lived, and I'm not sure that anyone else has lived, that has been perfectly perfect. There's always something, even on the best days, that goes wrong. It may be that we get a really great score on something in school, and then someone gives us trouble because we did so well. It may be that we have just won a wonderful victory, and the coach reminds us that we could have done better yet. It could be that we have gotten a new job, and yet somebody else is angry with us because they wanted it. It might be that we got a pay raise, and then a higher tax bill comes in at the same point. I've seen on days, even on wedding days, when something goes wrong, somebody in the family who hasn't seen somebody else gets into a bit of a discussion, loud or soft. We yearn for something that goes perfectly well all the way around. Those are all little elements of what's finally going to be our death. Things that go wrong in our lives that symbolize for us that this is not a perfect world in which we live. We look at those things and we yearn for things to be better. Can't we just all get along? Along with that is the question about, what's it all about? Is it just for the moment we live? When we sort it all out, why are we here? What's the purpose of it all? What's the aim? What's the goal? And for us, our lives are wrapped up in the things of this world. The things that bring us joy or the things to stay away from that bring us pain on this earth, in this world. We know that there are days when there is discouragement and grief and loneliness and despair and a feeling of emptiness and a feeling of unworthiness that others might dump upon us, but some other days when we know within ourselves that things are wrong, that things are not as we want them to be, and we can be discouraged about that. Sometimes it's national kinds of things. Sometimes it's us against them. And it's hard for us to realize that people, the world around, seek to have peace and joy and hope and settledness. They might have a different picture of it. They might go about it in a different way. But no one on purpose wants to make life miserable for everyone. Where does it all come from? The day you take of the fruit of the tree in the midst of the garden, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you will die. And our first mom and dad did that. We who share in a common humanity realize that someone a long time ago said, we don't need to be under anyone. And they took the fruit of the tree and were cast out of the garden. And so death accompanies us from the very first day of our life. One never knows whether through accident or illness, any day could be the last one. One never knows. But we do know that sooner or later it will come. I'll have a little bit of fun with 25,000 days on Tuesday, but I'm not going to see 50,000. Nobody lives that long around here. I'm not just halfway anymore. And we recognize, no matter what's going on, that this is not heaven on earth. It doesn't mean that it's all wicked either. Many of the things that go on in our daily lives do bring us joy, do bring us peace, do bring us happiness, even if it's not as full or complete as we would like. It's not like it's all rotten. But as we live out our lives, we recognize that no matter how much we are concerned for it and how hard we try, there are always going to be those things which let us know that we're still in a world of defeats and that the victories are not as easy to hold on to. And as it goes all the way back, it's no surprise when people don't get along and when nations don't get along and when there are different viewpoints about how this life ought to go. Here comes a text, maybe one of the brightest in the entire scripture, to hold out a certain future and a certain hope for us. In the early part of Isaiah chapter 2, there is a text about how all the nations are going to come up to Jerusalem to get instruction about what way God would want them to live in his kingdom under his lordship. And there are a couple of other texts that talk, as Isaiah 12 with the text that Paul and Betsy sang, that because of God's promises, we can rejoice in his salvation. It's the end of the first major part of the book of Isaiah, chapter 12, that we will dwell, draw water from the well of salvation, and God will provide for us all that we need. There are other texts in the Old Testament already that say that God is going to gather the enemies of his people around Jerusalem, which is the mountain that's talked about here, and then destroy everybody who is against his people. There are others that say God will welcome in even the people who don't belong, the ones who are not perfect. But here, he summons all peoples on the planet to a banquet. A banquet where he will provide everything for everyone. It will be under his lordship, and that's the rub. Those who say, I don't want to be under your lordship, will be like the ones in the gospel lesson who don't want to come to the party. There are people who have heard this story and said, nope, that's not for me. But he invites all nations to come. And he will take away the mask, the masks that we all wear, the covering that we all wear to act as if everything's okay when down deep we know it's not. What we can relax a little bit to do here because our Lord says, I'm going to deal with you knowing everything, right down to the depth of your being, your stubbornness, your resistance, your disdain for what I have done. Here's where I can heal that. He'll take the covering off the city of Jerusalem, which is not the way he meant it to be, a place of safety and security. And he'll provide a meal, a wedding banquet. Well, not quite a wedding banquet, but a banquet. A banquet that's like what a king would do when he would invite people from his whole realm to come to the wedding of his son. Come, draw near. I give you the best of food. Now, it might be that we might say, well, the fat doesn't sound real good to us. I don't quite understand how this can go, but there are people in parts of the world where the hump of the camel is the greatest delicacy. Not for me, but for someone else maybe. But the best of foods. That which will be given in plenty. I can hear even hinted at this with the finest of the wine, what our Lord says at the wedding of Cana. Give them this. And then the one who's serving the wine says, you've saved the best until now. As John says, Jesus is the one who comes to provide this banquet for us. He will swallow up death. Well, now, isn't that a strange thing? How do you swallow up death? How do you wipe tears away from every single eye? He will swallow up death in that very city. And Isaiah doesn't tell us that part yet. We have to wait for the New Testament to tell us how does it happen. And it happens when our Lord himself, outside that very city, the city of the temple of David and Solomon, the temple that where God dwelt, the temple where he would be praised and worshipped and offer his grace and mercy and forgiveness, rebuilt, the people who would be there in Jerusalem would hear about this Jesus who's different from them, who threatens their lordship over themselves and put him on a cross. Let's get rid of him. He's different. He makes us feel uncomfortable. And this very death, which casts a pall over the city, casts darkness over the whole earth, is the prelude to the light that will come on Easter morning, when he will pour out his Spirit, the Spirit that raised him from the dead, and give the wedding gift to every one of us, the gift of peace in the presence of our God. Peace that passes all understanding, as we say. He will give it to all of us. He will welcome us all into his presence. He changes our hearts inside so that we don't have to be forced to do something or told to do something, but we can find out what he's already working inside of us to do. We can recognize the resistance that might be there. I'm not sure I want to do it. But that's our old sinful nature. And the old sinful nature is always going to try and dance around and try to resist being under someone else. But here, this one who gives the banquet says, this is where you'll be at peace. This is where you can be encouraged. This is what's in you now by the resurrection of the Lord, that you will desire to be in my presence and will be thankful for the entire gift of salvation I give you, and I'm going to swallow up death. Will I live 250,000 more days? Not maybe here, but let's try 25 billion and then some. Because the Lord says we're going to live forever. He undoes death and he welcomes us to the banquet. He says, this is my will for you. This is what you inherit from me until I come back. I give you my body and blood, which will touch you and strengthen you so that you can have joy. This is the food, greater than the fat things and the wine that's well refined. This is the bread that gives us his body, the wine that delivers to us the blood of the sacrifice to make us free. This one who died outside that city is now the new temple. And when we come to God through him, we come in peace and we come in joy. So what's the job? The job for us as Christians is not just to try to show God we're trying hard to do something for him. He already has made us holy and perfect. Our Christian life is to love other people enough to let them know about the banquet. We call that evangelism. Tell the good news. It means searching the scriptures. Go and make disciples. who are going to know everything they can about what this new kingdom is about, so they can invite people into the joy and the peace of knowing here it's safe for all eternity. The mask taken off, the dark covering taken away, the banquet prepared, the one who provides the banquet saying to us, go to the highways and hedges and compel them to come in. Go find everyone you can. It might sound strange to us. That includes people like ISIS and people who invade other countries and take them, as people have been doing for time immemorial. Includes all of us who will minimize what's wrong with us and maximize what's wrong with everyone else, who are all brought in here by the grace and mercy of God, who gathers us together and then says, I'm going to go forth with you. Don't let anyone you know get away without knowing about this banquet, this forgiveness, this deliverance from what's wrong inside. Don't let them put it off because somehow or another it's for another age. Let everyone know now, this is our God. He has saved and redeemed us, and he yearns for us to be in his presence forever. And he gives us a peace that this world cannot give. I've mentioned this before at other times. This happens to be my funeral text. The book of Revelation stole it and used it later, but it comes from here. The epistle lesson for this day was our wedding text, and the gospel talks about the wedding. I carry this particular three texts around my wallet to remind me of the grace that's eternal, the gift that God gives me here on earth, and the banquet, the real party that's going to go on forever and ever. Amen. May the peace of God that passes all human understanding keep our hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen.